Jesus.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah, Lord. Jesus. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
We yield to your spirit, Lord.
Jesus. We worship you.
Hallelujah. Praise you, Father.
We worship you.
This is the best worship that you can give me. This is the best praise that you can give me, because you're singing from your heart and you're singing with your voice, and you are making a joyful noise to me this morning, and it causes me to come and manifest my presence and my glory in your life, because you just freely worship me from your heart. You don't have to have someone leading you. Instead, you just worship from your heart, from deep within. So continue just to praise and worship me from your heart, and see the mighty things that will come forth from all that praise and all that worship that you freely give me from your heart.
Hallelujah, Jesus. Blessed is he that would hear and do my sayings. Blessed is he that would hear and do my sayings. This is the day that I have made. Why don't we rejoice? Why don't you rejoice and be glad in it? I have created a new day for you.
Hallelujah.
My mercy is fresh and new this morning.
Yes.
So reach out to me and receive all that you have need of.
Yes.
I am here to give you all that you need.
Hallelujah.
Listen and obey.
Thank you, Jesus.
Blessed is he that would hear and do my sayings. So we worship you. Yes, we worship you. All we want is you, Lord. We worship you.
Say unto you, there is an atmosphere here this morning. that has not been here in quite some time, saith the Spirit of grace. And I say, but I have been here all the time. And I am here every time. But the atmosphere is what you create in my presence. And I'm telling you that it's for your teaching and for your understanding. This atmosphere was created Friday night. This atmosphere came as a result of the worship and the authority that you gave me, saith the Spirit of grace. And I want to speak to all of my sons and daughters. I want you to come forward in my presence and listen for just a moment. There is no back seats with me. There is no earning with me. Earning and works is a work of the flesh. And I know that all of you battle this at times. Some to greater and some to lesser degrees. But know this, no matter where you're at in your walk with me, if you're mine, if you have been bought with His blood, no matter how much you've been praying, no matter how much you have been meditating my word, no matter how much you have been in the house of God, know this, there are no backseat children with me, saith the Spirit of grace. What can you do to equal one drop of my Son's blood? What process can you work to, in one moment's time, everything that I made you to be brought forward in fullness, saith the Spirit of grace? Know this, it is always a matter of choice. And for some that are feeling the fullness of my liberty this morning, rejoice. For others that are still making a choice, know this, you are no less. Walk in the joy of choosing. Walk in the joy of choice. But know this, you cannot earn my goodness. You cannot earn my presence. For every time that you call me Abba, I witness to you, I am your Father. And as long as you are my child and will always be, know this, that there is nothing that you can do while living in this earthly tabernacle called a body that causes me to love you any more than I already love you, saith the Spirit of grace. So continue. Rejoice and worship. But know that you always have a choice. And I teach you these things so that you all the more say yes to seasons of worship. And when I call the assemblies of worship, because atmosphere is what I have been telling you will change the city. If it can move in one service, what can it do to the city? If things lighten up and joy comes through worship, what will it cause a city to become when I come in fullness? Enjoy my glory and do not earn anything by yourself, saith the Spirit of grace. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Thank you, Daddy.
Hallelujah.
Praise thank you, Daddy.
Lord.
Hallelujah.
Praise you, Jesus. Hallelujah.
We worship you. Worship you, Jesus. We present our bodies as living sacrifices, Lord.
Praise you, Jesus.
Holy thank you, Jesus. While we're on this journey, Lord, we will have a good time. We will, Jesus. As we worship you, worship you forevermore, every day, bring glory, come.
the lifter up,
yes,
my King Jesus.
We worship you.
You are my leader.
My redeemer.
I will bless your name.
My son.
I will bless your name.
We worship you. My healer.
I will bless your name.
My provider.
I will bless your name.
My good shepherd.
I will bless your name.
My great physician.
I will bless your name.
Hallelujah.
I will bless your name.
My deliverer.
Name above all names.
My peace.
Lord, you are worthy.
To my joy.
You are worthy.
Jesus. I looked and I saw there was this place. It was a field. It was abandoned by man and the will of man, and it was left to its own. But the will of the Father was there. And as it was left, it was forgotten about by the world. But the Father planted things there. And over time, they began to grow. Seasons came, seasons went. But things grew and were established. First, a beautiful grass grew. And people would drive by and they wouldn't notice. And it became a habit not to notice. So then as it grew differently, they didn't notice either. Flowers began to sprout that were blown in by the will of the Father. And trees. There was a few trees that grew. And they were very large and they had a root that went down strong. And as the wind blew and the seasons changed and the frigid temperatures came, spring would come. And they would remain unchanged, strong. And it became a beautiful place, like a garden of the Lord. It had been completely, utterly abandoned by man and his ways. God grew this place. And as I looked and I saw children, I don't even know where they came from. It was like they were turned loose. And they began to run. And they ran through this place. And the flowers, they were this high and they ran. And they, all the different colors, they just ran. And there was hundreds. And then it turned into thousands. As they ran, the joy of the Lord just filled this place. And it was wonderful.
Glory.
And this place is you, Prayer Center. this family that's been growing over time, that He'll continue to grow over time. Don't despise small things. Don't despise things that are small, because over time they grow to things that are strong. And You are strong, says the Spirit of grace. You are strong in Me because I've made You that way.
That's what we want to. That's what we want to, Lord. We want it, Lord. Just like that. We want it, Lord. Your will, Lord. Your will be done.
Worship
in this place.
Hallelujah, Lord.
Yes, Lord.
Worship
You. Just keep worshiping You all the way. All the way. We'll worship You.
Few months ago, Satan whispered in my ear through another Christian. It was about a 35 or 40 minute conversation. I heard, I really said nothing back to the person. I just heard it, really 35 or 40 minutes too long. But during this conversation, it sounded so logical. It made a lot of sense. But I caught myself halfway through it. They kept telling me and whispering me in my ear what was wrong with our church. Something wrong with our church. They almost went down from A to Z. I mean, yeah, we got empty chairs. Yeah, we do. Not for long.
Amen.
I told this person in a real nice way. I said, I had to cut him off at the end. I said all this to make a point to them, not agreeing with nothing, not the first thing that they said. I said, let's just say that half of what you're saying is true. I said, let me just say half of what you're saying is true. I said, let's judge now is what I said. And you know, people say don't judge. Well, that's partially true. I mean, you can judge situations. I said, let's judge the pastors that we're under. I said, let's say I give you half of what you're saying is being true. I said, let's not talk anymore. Let's behold fruit now. If what you're saying is true, then the men of God that we serve under, they must not bear any fruit. They must just have good looking leaves on the tree. So you know where I'm going with this. My friends, there is nothing wrong with this church.
Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen.
And we're not a remnant that has been chosen by God. That is false doctrine. A remnant is not chosen by God. A remnant makes themselves chosen.
Amen.
I hear it all the time. Well, God has raised up the remnant. You know why the prophets in the book of Elijah, they were a remnant of God? Because they refused to bow.
Amen.
That's why they were a remnant.
Yes.
God didn't hand choose them.
That's right.
In the Old Testament to be. No, they made themselves chosen.
Amen.
There's nothing wrong with this church.
Thank you, Jesus.
Based Amen. On fruit alone. Pastor Bronk and Miss Candy.
Amen.
Judge them.
Yeah.
Judge them. You have the authority and the freeness to judge them. Judge them. Judge their walk with Jesus Christ. And He's not God. And I've said it tape after tape. He's not my perfect prototype. Neither is Pastor Dave Roberson. But judge the men of God that we serve under. That and that alone will make everything a moot point. Serving Jesus is not an emotion, though it's nice when our emotions are touched. It's excellent when we feel them. That's good. But serving Jesus is a place of righteousness.
Amen.
Simplicity in Him.
Mm-hmm.
A place of worship that comes from our own very own priesthood. 35 or 40 minutes a day went on and on and on. But I did end the conversation with this. Stop and judge the men that we serve under. So you talk to that devil. You tell him.
Mm-hmm.
You speak to those thoughts.
Yeah.
You haven't a clue. You haven't a clue. You haven't a clue of the hell I've been through the last 3 months. You don't have a clue. I've had one daughter, one arm crying in pain. A son on the other arm with drug charges going away for a while, yet I stand strong. My resolve is going nowhere. It's been challenged a little bit. You know what I attribute that to? First and foremost, to Jesus Christ. Because though my prayer hadn't been the best in the last 3 months, my tongues have never let up. Our kingdom is internal. And we are guaranteed edification, exhortation, and comfort. Though my hours haven't been there in the Bible, my time hasn't been there in worship, but my tongues, my heavenly gift, I know has sustained me through this turmoil in my life. But I got my mojo back about a week ago. I got it back.
Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus.
They say that there's no condemnation when you don't pray. That's true. There is no condemnation, but there really ain't any peace either. Oh brother, there's no condemnation. It's not by works. Oh, you're so right, God. Yes, I'll give you that. But there ain't no peace either, my brother. So you talk to that spirit.
Amen.
We're all, oh, I love what Marty said. My God,
yeah.
Man.
Awesome.
Woo-wee. This is not based on emotion.
Amen.
But based on simplicity.
Yes. Thank you.
And righteousness. In the Spirit. Amen.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen. Lord, hallelujah, Jesus. Thank you, Lord.
Good stuff. Before we do anything else, I think we'll take this opportunity to, you know, the greatest day of my life one of. I mean, mostly the greatest day was the day I got born again. But I'm talking just per se. It was when I found out that I could change atmospheres. When I really found out that an atmosphere was an entity. That it's really, you know, just something like the Holy Spirit prophesying a difference today. And you could feel it when you walked in the door. But you know what the odds on everybody coming in a good mood are on one particular day? You'd better hit the lotto quicker. Atmosphere. I realized when something would come in the room, sometimes it took me a while to realize it because I thought it was my thoughts. When I started thinking about how often you miss church and why you're not, see, you may be thinking about me in a certain way and I may be thinking about you in a certain way. When I felt an atmosphere come in that began to accuse you, before we do anything else, I think we'll take this opportunity to, you know, the greatest day of my life, the greatest day was the day I got born again. But I'm talking just per se. It was when I found out that I could change atmospheres. When I really found out that an atmosphere was an entity, that it's really, you know, just something like the Holy Spirit prophesying a difference today, and you could feel it when you walked in the door. But you know what the odds on everybody coming in a good mood are on one particular day? You'd better hit the lotto quicker. Atmosphere. I realized when something would come in the room, sometimes it took me a while to realize it because I thought it was my thoughts. When I started thinking about how often you miss church and why you're not, see, you may be thinking about me in a certain way and I may be thinking about you in a certain way. When I felt an atmosphere come in that began to accuse you, and I could think about the things that you're not doing and all this, that, and the other. And then you know what? It's amazing. It's like an anointing drops on you. You'll start thinking you're seeing things that other people can't see about that other person. Oh, and then you become God's. Well, maybe God's coming on me for this purpose as a hitman. Or maybe he just, you know, I can see things about that church. Oh, my God, the rest of them. Oh, dear God, I know they're His children. I know they pray. But somehow I've slipped past the veil of deception. And I can see things that other people cannot see. His name is, I'd just like for us to give Him a name. His name, that mood changer, that atmosphere changer, that accuser of the brethren. His name is Icky. Because Icky has a depressive kind of state. Icky makes things tight among the brethren. Icky doesn't give much elbow room. But I can tell you this, Icky can go if you believe that it's a spirit and you begin to address him with, well, how often do I have to fast? Just speak the name of Jesus.
Amen.
Just speak the name of Jesus.
Thank you, Lord.
And in agreement with that this morning, I'd ask for you to stand, please. And those of you that know that name and know that it is power beyond all names,
yes,
we're going to speak. I promise I won't lead you into anything strange, but if you'll follow me in this, if you'll say this, I say,
Jesus
is Lord.
Is Lord.
Jesus,
we thank you.
We thank you that you have called us.
That you called us
to a heavenly calling.
To a heavenly calling.
We acknowledge that we are not perfect.
That we are not perfect.
Of ourselves.
We acknowledge
that we don't yet have all doctrine.
But we thank you, Father,
that you're our teacher.
Father,
Father,
we acknowledge that the same work you're doing here,
that the same work you're doing here,
you're doing in many places,
you're doing in many places
around the world,
around the world.
We choose to follow you,
to follow you.
We choose
in our imperfection
to believe that you're greater,
that you're greater.
Now we turn to you,
and we turn to you,
Icky.
Icky.
We say to you,
you're not welcome
in this house. Accuser of the brethren.
Accuser of the house.
We say unto you,
get out.
In Jesus' name.
You guys
said it.
I was
about ready to run. You said it with get out with power. Hallelujah. We exalt you, Jesus. We exalt you, Jesus. Why don't you just take another moment or two? Father, we just love you. We love you. We love you. I said we love you, Father. We glorify you. Hallelujah, Jesus. Glory. Glory, glory. Hallelujah. You'll see these things increase, saith the Spirit of the Lord. These are not just meant to be high water marks. You'll walk out and hopefully you'll speak. I remind you what I have recently said. Be contagious. Be contagious one to another, saith the Spirit of grace. For that which worked in the first church was a supernatural contagiousness that spread. For the more you speak, watch your words when you come together. Watch your words. Lean towards speaking things that you have recently found out of my spirit to be true, and my word and the wonders of the good things that I work when you come together. Make your atmosphere conducive and you will be contagious when you're here in this house and others are not here that you want to be here, those that you're praying for. Do not condemn them in conscience, but rather take what has happened to you and spread it unto them. Speak unto them as if they were on the same level with you. Do not speak down to them. Speak to them on this level. You know these things are true. Isn't it wonderful that He's working in us? Use the word us and we when you're with them. Bring them into what you're doing. Bring them in. Do not, for many, I hear much of my church go on and on for hours about what God has done for me. But know this, yes, I am the one that works in you. But when you speak to them, speak as if I have done this inside of you so that they may be a partaker with you, saith the Spirit of grace. Woo! Man, I can't hardly get it out. Gets on me so strong. Hallelujah. And all the glory to Him. Hallelujah, Jesus. Hallelujah, Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. We exalt you, Jesus. We exalt you, Jesus. Magnify you and give you all the praise. But you are worthy. Made yourself so worthy. That sacrifice that you gave, your own blood. You're here today and you don't know Him. Listen, you don't have to join this church. You don't have to make a commitment to a man. Except one man. His name is Jesus. And He was sacrificed through the eternal Spirit. Do you know what that means? Yes. Most will say that He was sacrificed through the power of the Holy Ghost. The eternal Spirit was that pure spirit that He had to offer. which was the new nature. First man alive in 4,000 years. Every other man was born. And Isaiah prophesied and said, we've all turned from our way, from His way. We've all gone after deceitfulness. Yet the Lord has laid on Him the wickedness of us all. Did you know that before you ever said your first cuss word or lied the first time, you were already born into sin? Because you had a sin nature. It was passed down through the generations. Now babies are under claws. And if they die early or they're lost, miscarried or aborted, they go right into heaven. And they grow up there. But nevertheless, at an age of accountability, they come into a consciousness. Come into a place where God requires them to make a choice. Well, what about that? Listen. You could question me and say, what about this and what about that and what about this? Well, what about those over there? What about there? What about that? I can promise you, I can't answer all those questions like, well, what if you were born over there and what if you were born over there and what if they taught you all your life that that's your God? Like 180 million gods in India or something like that. What if? All I can tell you is this. Now, He's taught me more and more how He gets things done. But I know Him this much. This is how much I know Him. There's not one soul. There's not one soul. Some people will go to an inclusive gospel and say, well, since they're ignorant of it or since they didn't get the same chance I got, don't you think you'll just get them in under a clause? Yes, sir. No. No, no, no. Can't do it. One man paid the price. His name is Jesus. They have to. He said no man. And if He said no man, He means no man. No man comes to the Father but by Me. Well, they didn't know. Listen. I've gone enough into Him to know this. I haven't arrived. I'm on a journey like you are. But I know this. Of all His 10 attributes, He's sovereignly just. He's sovereignly love. And not one person is ever going to go to that place of judgment without knowing and not knowing why they went there. Every person will bow their knee and confess that He is Lord. And they will know. They will know with all assurance their hour of visitation. They'll know that they did not go unjustly into eternal damnation. They'll know. I can promise you this. No one is there unjustly. Amen. Nor will anybody ever be there unjustly. Amen. They'll know that they had their opportunity. In some way that you and I may not have been there. Listen, we stand in America. You get an opportunity for a preacher like me or like all these ladies and men that were prophesying the mind of Christ to say Jesus is Lord. You got a big sign behind me saying Jesus is Lord. You got to know this. All you have to do at any given time, if you've not accepted Him, if I ask you today, are you going to heaven? You say, well, I hope so. No, you don't have to hope so. You can know so. Amen. And if I say, why? If you say, well, you know, I'm trying my best. Wrong answer. If I say, why? And you say, well, I haven't stole. I haven't had sex in the last 2 years or the last 30 days. And I'm not talking about married people. I haven't committed adultery recently. I haven't got stoned. Those are all wrong answers. There's only one thing that will get you in. Jesus Christ. You must believe that He is manifest for you. Now, a lot of people say, I believe in God. That's wrong. That's a wrong answer. I'm glad that you do, but the Bible says the devils fear and tremble. Devils believe, and they're not going to heaven. You must believe that Jesus was manifest to take away not my sins, but your sins. And the sins of the whole world, of course. believe this, that if you will confess Him with your mouth and believe in your heart that God has raised Him up from the dead, meaning you believe that a supernatural act took place on your behalf so that you don't have to be judged because He was judged in front of you. If you were brought to the whipping post, Jesus, in essence, come and said, unshackle him, unshackle her, I will take their penalty. That's what He did for you. He died and went to hell so you never have to. It's a real travesty. It's a real terrible thing that a person ever goes to hell because you've really already been there one time before and served out your penalty through Jesus Christ. If you have to go a second time, it's horrible. Jesus already paid that price. If you're here this morning and your trust is in anything other than Jesus Christ, well, I was baptized as a child. You have to make that decision as yourself. If you were baptized as a child and you said, I know Jesus, I want to be baptized, that's different. But if you have not accepted Him this morning, we're going to pray one prayer. And we're going to ask all of us to pray it together. And if you are needing Christ in your life, please come up to me after the service and say, I prayed that prayer. I accepted Jesus Christ. I wasn't sure. If you're not sure this morning, let's all bow our heads, please. This is a time of harvest. If you're here this morning and you would like for me to remember you, I mean specifically, like you, those of you that know you're saved, don't raise your hand. But if you are in question of your salvation and you're questioning whether or not you'll go to heaven, please raise your hand right now. Is there anybody? I see that hand. Is there anybody else? You're in question. I see your hand. I will pray for you. Is there anybody else? Number of adults. Anybody else? Believe me when I say it's through His blood. You may walk out of here today after this prayer and commit sin. I'm not encouraging that. I'm saying that may happen. But if you do, all you have to do is turn around in your tracks privately, not out loud, but privately, and say, Jesus, forgive me. Help me to continue with You. And if that happens again and again, and you really sincerely mean it, you'll eventually walk out of that. So I'm saying that to those who are contemplating this prayer in your heart right now, but you're saying, I don't believe that I can get out of the mess that I'm in. I'm in a relationship that I know God doesn't approve of. Listen, if you pray this prayer sincerely, God will dissolve that relationship, but He'll replace it with something far better. Is there anybody else that needs prayer before we pray? Okay. Would you all pray this prayer with me, and let's pray it together as a church. Dear Heavenly Father, I thank You for Jesus Christ and His shed blood. Jesus, come into my life. Forgive me of my sins. Wash me now. Wash me fresh, anew in Your blood. I confess that You were risen, crucified, and risen for me, Jesus. I receive You. Father, I acknowledge Your Son as my salvation. In Jesus' name, amen. Hallelujah. 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 Father, I love You. I thank You that You've called this assembly. And I thank You that the words that You have spoken in this assembly today have been precious. They have been powerful. And I thank You for Your graciousness. The mighty name of Jesus. And we give You all the praise and all the glory. Amen. We talked last week. I'm not going into preaching, but I am going to exhort you just for a second. Because Renee's a good-looking young black man. Crossed between Denzel and Sidney Poitier. He is eligible. He is eligible. Come see me. I'm booking up for him. Hallelujah. When he said, consider, I can't get over it. It's been ministering to me lately. When he talked about you cannot serve God and mammon, then he gave you a remedy for it. In other words, you cannot serve God and money. But then he gave you, thank God, that Jesus always gives us a remedy how to get over our serving mammon versus God. He said, consider the lilies. What? That's how you get over it. Consider the lilies. What should I consider about them? Consider that they toil not, they spin not. In other words, they don't work at who they are. But I say unto you that Solomon in all of his glory, was not arrayed like one of these. And when he was talking, he's talking about great big fields of maybe multiple thousands. I don't know what exactly the Palestinian lily looks like. It probably is not the kind of Easter lily looking deal. It was something that was, as I understand, harvested by the locals to be used as firewood or something to use to bake in the ovens, to fuel. It was used as fuel. He said, consider the lilies. What shall I consider? He said, they toil not, they spin not, but I say unto you that Solomon in all of his glory. And he said this, who today, the lilies, are, and tomorrow are cast into the oven. How much more will he clothe you, keep you, fill you, give whatever you need to you to be sustained? Oh, ye of little faith. Now, you know what he showed me? The expendability. That was the thing that touched me more than anything else. He's saying that lily is equal to and beyond all the glory of the richest man that ever lived on the planet. Because if you really look at it, the arrayment, that's what he said, arrayed. In other words, all its pedestals, all of its, the way it's put together, the intricate parts of it that your Heavenly Father has in detail. Candy and I look at the Discovery Channel sometimes and we're watching God, and Candy goes, why did he make that? Like that particular animal, some things you see and you think, nobody's ever seen these unless somebody goes into the jungle or the Andes or someplace. And we're like, why does he? That is incredible. What a creator. He must do that for the ahas. You know, just, aha, cool, I can do that. Oh, let's see, I'll do that. It's just fun. I'm a creator. I just love it. Well, he created all this beautiful pedestal-looking, beautiful flowers. And he said, they're greater than Solomon, and yet he said, they're here today, and guess what? They're gone tomorrow. And I saw a picture. I thought, you know, all of these great artists, Pablo Picasso, the great Italian, you know, he lived in France, but he's a Spanish artist. And, you know, people kill for his artistry and his sculpturing. Rembrandt lived in the 1600s. He was the Dutchman that was so celebrated as you go to these art shows, everybody's sipping, these millionaires are sipping their wine. They're walking around. They're champagne, you know. What are you doing exciting these days? I just bought a $3 million Rembrandt. Would you like to come over in your Porsche and look at it? Yes, let's sit down. Sip our martinis and our champagne and look at the Rembrandt. But don't touch it. Do you know what God was saying about the lilies? It was just like God says, watch this, everybody. You like this? Watch. Portrait. Oh, wonder what this is going to cost. I'm buying it when it's done. I'm buying it when it's done. I'll outbid you. I'll call honey, see how far we can go on the credit card. I'll outbid you. God is just painting. And they're like, There's an auction going on before it starts. And before just as it's done, God says, "Do you like this?" And they're cheering, "Yes, it's the most precious thing. And nobody touch it, nobody touch it." And God says, "Let me show you something. Can I show you something?" Yes. My daughter's laughing. She grew up in all this. He takes a big, like, magic marker easel. Don't do it. Don't do it, God. No. Watch this. Oh, God, they're passing out. And he said, "Guess what? Don't worry, because I can do that a million times over. I can do it before the morning. Consider the lilies. They're here today. They're gone tomorrow. They're inexpendable." Why? And the why for him teaching us how expendable they were was for him to follow up and saying, "But I'm the Father who created them. So know this, there's a never-ending supply on the inside of me for you. So don't think you've got to try to hoard up and you've got to see like, oh God, can I hold on to this?" It takes the fear even of giving away, because you know that if you give, He's on the other side of it and He can't wait to give more. There's a never-ending supply where He lives. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. The only reason why He'll show you how futile something is to try to hang on to it is to say, "I'm on the other side of supplying something for you always. I can do it." Listen, I've got $1 million in the bank. I lay down real good and sleep. Listen, to the man who believes that he is the God of the lilies, if tomorrow he wakes up and he's got zero, he's just as saturated, just as insured is a better word, of his future and of his going forward without lack as the man with $1 million, because the God of the lilies backs him up. Amen. Hallelujah. So on that, I believe, I'm going to believe that you listen to him. If you write your checks, make them out of the Family Prayer Center. I'll tell you this one while you're thinking about what God says. What does it have to do with it? Not a whole lot, except that you're about to write a check. A guy came into the church, to the church secretary, and he's looking around. He says, "I want to speak to Pastor Pig." She said, "Excuse me? I'd like to talk to Pastor Pig. Where's Pastor Pig at?" "Sir, I don't know what you're talking about. Where's the head man? Where's the pastor? Where's Pastor Pig?" She goes, "Sir, we do have a head pastor, but we do not refer to our pastor as Pastor Pig." He said, "Well, I've got a $10,000 check right here that I wanted to give him." She said, "Oh, I believe that I hear the little porker coming down the hall right now." I was on the streets in New York one time, and Christy and I went over and witnessed to him. The guy, he was a black guy. I loved him. We actually got him to pray the sinner's prayer. If it held it, you know, something happened to him. The best I can remember, whatever his name was, it was him, I believe. We saw this somewhere, but I'm almost sure it was him. He had a sign on there. This is not comical, but in a certain sense, you'll hear the humor in a moment. But this guy, he had a sign on it. Cuss me for a dollar. In other words, he's trying to make money away. You could go over and put a dollar in his bucket and imagine him as the estranged wife or the husband that did you wrong or the boss man that just stabbed. And you could, for a minute, he'd let you cuss him from A to Z. "You blankety blank blank. You blankety blank 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 blank. Well, listen, if anybody's doing that while they're writing a check, you let them write that check. Hallelujah. Have you had a good time today? Amen. Hallelujah. Father, we love you and we praise you. We give you all the glory because Jesus is Lord. And we thank you that we have more than enough and His grace is sufficient. Now we receive this with thanksgiving into all of your house and we give you all the praise and glory. And everybody said, Amen. Hallelujah. We have these up. If while you're leaving today, if you would bring it forward, we would appreciate it. We love you all, and we'll see you all again very soon. Amen.